FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Carrie Lutz. I am here in New Orleans. We fortuitously bumped into Mickey Fulp. You know him well, themercenarygeologist.com. And Mickey, you've been reviewing these markets. We've been doing it together now for years. I'm not quite sure what we learned, but it's always an interesting exercise.
Well, we learned, I think, that the banksters are still in control. And despite quantitative easing and devaluation of currencies worldwide, they've managed to keep the world economy ticking right along.
Which is quite a task in and of itself, because there were times in 08-09 where we didn't think we were going to have a world economy. So you got to give them some credit, but now we're getting to the point of the absurd. I mean, look what happened with the markets this month.
Well, yeah, it's just when we thought things were going to get bad and the U.S. markets were going to go down, they made an amazing rebound. We have the U.S. major markets, the Dow, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, all up somewhere above 8 to even above 9% over the month. The S&P 500 is now well over 2,000 again, you know, maybe 100 points off its all-time high. The NASDAQ is once again above 5,000. Pretty amazing. And the other nice thing about this, which is always one of my key components of a better economy, is the Russell 2000, the small cap stocks, because that's what really drives the growth of the U.S. economy. That index was up 5.5% over the month, and it regained all that it lost last month.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. And even the TSX went up in spite of the carnage in the resource sector.
Well, actually, commodities were up a bit over the month, so that may have something to do with the fact that the TSX was up 1.7% over the month. The venture exchange still hovering near its all-time lows. It was up 3% over the month, but that's less than half the losses in September. And finally, the big mover, or another big mover of the month, and I found this very encouraging because the emerging markets have taken quite a hit over this year, but they even were up 7% over the month.
Yeah. All in all, like just when you think it's all over, there's another rally, and that's been the story of the market for years. And hey, speaking of rallies, we go over to the currencies, and first we look at the trusty U.S. dollar, still the reserve currency of the world.
Absolutely, and up again. Once, you know, we've been talking about how it's been range bound in the 94 to 98 level. We're still within that, but it actually pushed up to 97 this month, finished the month at 96.9, up 0.5%. I find that very encouraging. The euro down, as we would think, 1.2%, not a lot, but still trading that buck and a dime range, and it's been range bound within that paradigm a buck 11 plus or minus a couple of points for what almost yeah. It's, yep. And, 10-year treasuries were up a bit, but still in that very low range of, dropped actually for the month about 5%, finished the month at 2.16. You know, as was expected, the Fed did not raise rates a quarter as if that would make any difference to the macro economy. And then a big winner, I have no idea why.
Just when I thought it was safe to crash your blockchain, right?
Here's Bitcoin up a whopping 38% over the month, closed the month, up 90 bucks to, 326 and change. I have no idea why, but, there evidently was a run into Bitcoin this month.
Well, I guess people might be taking your money from your mattress and putting it into your digital mattress, otherwise known as the blockchain of Bitcoin. I don't know. I was thinking of starting a show a while ago about Bitcoin, and then after it crashed, I just said, nah, there's no interest. And I've been getting emails saying, we want the show, we want the show. But now we get into our metals, and, I don't know what to say about them. They're actually up, but they were up quite a bit higher during the month than they closed.
Yeah, around the first week of October or so, gold made a big run up to 1184, and all the bugs and the bulls came out and said, oh, gold's breaking out, and ever the contrarian, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp, came in and said, no, this is a seasonal trend, and I showed very convincingly in a couple of musings why that is. Nevertheless, gold finished up on the month, 1142, but for the third year in a row, its October high was less than its June high. We continue to make lower lows and lower highs in the gold bullion market, and that's still a very bearish trend. Silver was a big mover over the month, oftentimes more volatile. It finished the month at 1559 for a 7% gain. That's encouraging for people, especially silver producers, of which there are a few at this conference. Platinum, again, a big rally over the month. It got way too low, way too fast. Finished the month at 987, up almost 9%. And palladium, which made its big rise, about 3 months ago, continued strong and finished the month up 4% at 6.77.
Bullish on platinum for a while because it's been trading below price of gold for months now.
Well, and it still is trading well below the price of gold. The ratio this month, 0.86, up a bit, but still at historic lows. Gold-silver ratio dropped below 75 to 73.3, but that's still a high ratio. Platinum-palladium is back at finish about 1.5. That's still anomalous. Copper had kind of a so-so month. It actually went up above 240 at a point, but closed the month at 232, down 2%. But this is the bottom. I'll be willing to go out there and say copper price it cannot go down for any extended period of time much lower than it is right now, because this is approaching the all-in production costs of a significant part of the copper industry. So, the copper price may muck about. It may even take a dive further lower, but I don't think that's really sustainable.
Yeah. Well, if you're a long-suffering precious metals owner, buyer, investor, what are you thinking now?
Well, I'm not long-suffering. Why would I be long-suffering? I hoard gold, as you are well aware, Kerry. So the fact that gold and platinum have been low, those are buying opportunities to me. I like low precious metal prices. And, I don't mind lower lows and lower highs, because that just gives me the excuse to add to my hoard and move some of my money from U.S. dollars into real money. So I don't know. I'm not suffering because of it. And that's being a little flippant, but let me explain that. The gold producers and the gold explorers continue to suffer because of these relatively low prices. But bear in mind, what was it, 6 or 7 years ago, $1,100 gold was unheard of in the world. So let's be happy with what we got here.
Very true. And so then we move over to energy, which real interesting month there. A little bit of movement, but nothing, I don't know, would you say meaningful?
Yeah, it's, we're still depressed in a very depressed petroleum market. WTI was up 3%, but it's still closed the month at 46.59. There are no oil producers in the world very excited about that. You know, we had a lot of developments in Iran, and there's fear in the market with the Iran nuclear deal and the lifting of sanctions that Iran's, I mean, they do have the capability of producing about 5 million barrels a day, which is significant, puts them securely in the top 10 of producers worldwide. But that's been of concern, and that's been overhanging the oil market. The arbitrage to Brent continues to close quite a bit. It finished the month at 49.56, up 3%, a little less than 3%. But that arbitrage now is down to 3%, 1.03. Okay, just imagine what will occur if the oil export ban, which passed the House overwhelmingly, passes the Senate, and our draconian president decides not to veto it. I don't think it's veto proof at this point, but that was very good news, and that probably has contributed to the lessening of the WTI to Brent arbitrage. We need to be able to export our oil, and we've gone into that ad infinitum here, so we don't need to address that. Meanwhile, Henry Hub down once again. Geez, it down to 232. We're approaching what our since we've been tracking it, I think it reached $1.98 once, but, you know, that's probably somewhat seasonal. I didn't have time because I'm at this show and speaking, and working pretty hard at this show to take a look at inventories. Inventories must be up, but this could be just a seasonal thing. But even still, no one can get excited at gas less than $4. Uranium, there was some small trades that upset the market. There's been rumors that Urenco, the British-based enrichment company, has been underfeeding and selling a lot of low enriched uranium in the market, but albeit in smaller amounts. But that kind of upset the uranium market. It was down 2% over the month. Most of the pros in this business I'm talking to, and there are about six or seven significant uranium companies exhibiting at Brian London's New Orleans conference. They think this is a short-term phenomenon.
Well, time will tell, but it looks like it's been fluctuating in that low 35 to 39 and change range for the past 6-7 months. We'll see if there's going to be a breakout soon, but all in all, markets the share market's surprise on the upside, the rest kind of a little boring this month, huh?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of volatility. You know, you and I talked a couple of times before about adding the VIX, the volatility index, and that's an S&P 500 options, futures options volatility index. But it was low this month. Started the month at 25, finished the month at 15. I think we're going to add the VIX because it does give us a good parameter to look at for volatility, with the idea that the S&P 500 is a proxy for certainly the major markets in the world. And so I think we'll add the VIX next time and start taking a look. But rest assured, there was low volatility over the month, and we would welcome more volatility with the things we talk about and the things we do in the market, Kerry.
Absolutely, Mickey. So thanks for this month, taking time out from the conference to keep us up to date. Find Mickey's work at mercenarygeologist.com. Your Twitter feed and other sites, Mickey?
At Mercenary Geologist, now approaching 51,000 Twitter followers. And the interview will be posted at mercenarygeologist.fm.
All right. Thanks, Mickey. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks a lot, Kerry. Good to see you in person.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.